We would like to advise that the following program may contain adult themes, occasional nudity, and language that may offend some listeners.
Thank God it's...
Welcome to the Lindley Evans Studio at the ABC in Ultimo for another edition of Thank God It's Friday. I'm Richard Glover, and please welcome our panel. It's James Colley, Tommy Dean, and Alex Lee. And with the music, it's the cast of Zombie the Musical, the brand new Australian musical. And our audience this week from Brisbane, Darwin, Darmstadt in Germany, Unadatta, Balmain, and the Blue Mountains.
But first, as always, here is the news from nowhere. Flat pack furniture was once a small segment of the market. Those who were up for a challenge could visit IKEA and test their wits against the evil genius behind their instruction manuals. It all worked out, providing you were attentive to every tiny detail, had the patience of a saint, and were willing to do it three times over, since early in the construction you'd confused screw B with screw A on account that they are almost identical. Flat pack furniture, though, is no longer a fringe activity. It's increasingly difficult to buy anything that is not self-assemble. You'll buy a chair or a bed or a compost twirling thing, and what arrives is a bag of tiny parts and an instruction leaflet that needs a magnifying glass to decode. Frankly, I'd buy another new car, except I'm sure it would arrive in 1,000 pieces with a free spanner and an oxyacetylene welding set. Part of the problem lies in the phrase, easy to assemble. It isn't. A better slogan might be, it will take you all day and involve several attempts, but if you persevere and overcome self-doubt and impatience, your reward will finally emerge. It's like the whole history of Western philosophy rendered as a hat stand. With the assistance of a single piece of flat-pack furniture, you can experience the lot, delayed gratification, the mastering of one's brutish instinct to reach for a hammer when the plug seems too big, and the struggle to achieve the rational processing of information. All this despite one's status as a beast only recently elevated by evolution. Here's the most frustrating thing. In the end, the product does fit together. And yet with every item, the same process is played out. Oh, this time they've made a mistake. This time they've left out the crucial bolt. This time the diagram is wrong. Bloody IKEA! Then, after an hour spent swearing and unscrewing and trying it this way and that, you realise that you did have the backing panel upside down. And actually, if you look very, 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 very carefully at the diagram, it's true that the pattern of screw holes, if properly studied, does indicate the item's proper placement. It's like having an annoyingly bright friend who told you the answer to the exam question, but in a manner you couldn't quite understand, not until after the exam was over and you'd emerged blinking into the sunlight. Next, there's the insistently Swedish product names. The couch called Bodge, the desk called Blag, the lamp called Barf. These are not the sweet sounds of homemaking. These are the sounds of gastrointestinal distress. Other names sound like members of ABBA. By lunchtime, here's hoping you could have your bum on a Bjorn and your feet on a collapsible Frida. Next are the insistently Swedish foodstuffs, the meatballs, the mysterious biscuits, and the weird cordials made from crushed lingonberries. Lingonberries? Who outside of Sweden has ever heard of lingonberries? When buying flat-pack furniture, why do I need to embrace the entirety of Swedish culture in all its grandeur and mystery? When BHP sell China some Australian iron ore, does the manager say, mate, you'll want a pie floater with that? When Cochlear delivers a shipment of bionic ears to the Americans, do they throw in a couple of Baz Luhrmann CDs? No! And then, of course, number one on the hate list is the store layout, with its one-way, forced-to-see-everything design. Sure, you can buy a cheap six-pack of coffee cups, but in order to do so, you're required to endure a 10-kilometre forced march past every product we have on offer. And so every day you see the shoppers making their way from bathrooms to lamps, trying to retrace their steps to the car park, dreaming that one day they might make good their escape. Let's hope they have some Lincoln Brie cordial just to keep their fluids up. And that's the news from nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy, James, Alex.
My favorite is, comedy is variables. And I love that up the front you used as your example of trouble a hat rack.
Hat rack. Mm-hmm.
And it just felt like of all the things that you would buy at a flat pack, that'd be pretty fit.
No, they sell one.
No, I'm not saying they don't. Yeah. I'm just saying it seems like it'd be pretty easy to figure out.
But the center.
Not the IKEA version.
I've done IKEA stuff. I mean, my wife used to buy, half my house is IKEA. And she used to challenge me because I was terrible at it. And she once bought a product. And she left it for me, and she said, as a challenge, I'm going to go to work, and when I get home, I expect this to be built. And as you said, all the pieces fit. No bolt was lost. I completely constructed it. I was very proud. I came home. I showed her. I said, look what I've done. And she said, what have you done? You've ruined it. And I said, no, it fits together perfectly. And she said, what do you think it is? And I said, a floor. And she said, it was supposed to be a bookshelf. And then she bought another one, built it herself. It was a bookshelf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it perfectly matched the floor it sat on. Ideal.
You're a team. Let's check you up with this week's news. Whose bulb is not the brightest? Whose bulb is not the brightest?
So this is a story about Donald Trump in a conversation with Nigel Farage just clipping Kevin Rudd along the way in just a conversation about other things, in the way that you would order, just bring us some olives as well. He just wrecked Kevin Rudd on the way through in a conversation. And if you haven't seen this interview, the thing you need to know about it is Donald Trump refers to Kevin Rudd as being kind of an angry man, a mean man, mean little
nasty,
man.
Nasty
little man.
Yeah.
What's important to know is it is clear to anyone watching that he has no earthly idea who Kevin Rudd is. Kevin Rudd to him is like one of the extras in a Godzilla film that just kind of gets caught in the drama while we follow the protagonist. He's just going, wah, over on the side.
Because Farage basically says, here's a guy who doesn't like you,
yeah.
Mr. Trump, and then reads out a quote from 100 years ago from Rudd. And Trump thinks, well, if he doesn't like me, I don't like him.
Yeah, and as we listen to it, knowing well who Kevin Rudd is, and we listen and say, hey, I mean, you're right, but that doesn't mean you're allowed to say that.
He's our nasty man, right?
I thought it was amazing because it is so clear in the interview he does not know who Kevin Rudd is, yet he manages to deliver an insult that cuts to the very core of who Kevin Rudd believes he is. And I wrote it down because it is such incredible bullying. He says, I don't know much about him. I heard he was a little bit nasty. I hear he's not the brightest bulb. And if we break this down, first of all, I don't know much about him. That's going to hurt Kevin Rudd. Kevin Rudd wants...
Have you heard of the number 7? I kind of own it.
Yeah, it's mine. That would hurt him. And then straight away, I heard he's a little bit nasty. Well, that wouldn't bother him so much. But I hear he's not the brightest bulb. Like, this is a man who prides himself as being an academic and a great intellect.
Well, he's just won a PhD with his scholarship about China.
That's right, yeah. And not even saying he's not the brightest bulb, but I hear he's not the brightest bulb. As in, people are talking about Kevin Rudd in Washington as if he's not very smart. I mean, you've got to give him credit. He is kind of a genius at bullying.
But my favorite part about that quote, if you even read it exactly, you could then play a game called, did Trump say this or was it said about Trump? It works both ways perfectly.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, exactly.
And when they meet each other, I'm hoping that will be where it all comes together.
Yeah.
They'll be like, oh, yeah, neither one of us are that bright. Yeah, we are both kind of nasty.
Yeah.
We should be friends.
Yeah, let's get on. Let's play golf.
There is a great tradition of U.S. ambassadors having a terrible time in the U.S., and my favorite version of this was Joe Hockey, who had his credit card information confiscated because he tried to buy merchandise at a hockey game, and the retailer went, Joe Hockey, come on.
What internet company now faces a ticking clock?
Well, this is the company of TikTok. So the houses of US Congress have voted to close down the service unless they sell it to an American company. And I think that's fantastic. I mean, we can trust the Americans to make a fantastic social media network. I mean, they've done so well. You know, Meta, you know, it's contributed to the widespread disinformation, spread of conspiracy theories and the destabilization of democracy, and no one has done that better than the Americans. I mean, X, formerly known as Twitter, is, you know, run by a madman, and it just is now a stream of consciousness for an insane billionaire. I mean, the Americans know how to do this stuff right, and that's what I think is just
give
fantastic.
Them to give it to Elon Musk and let him do his magic. Eh?
That's what I thought was going to be the argument was that we do do it so well, and that we were worried that China was going to muddle it up. They're just not trying hard enough. I also wonder: do we trust social media to be the out? The source of all of our information now, if we have to keep saying X, formerly Twitter.
Yeah.
It feels like social media should have told us by now. The name has been changed.
X
Twitter. He's used to change.
It feels like, though, when I first heard about this, I was like, yeah, sounds fine to me. I don't really care. Like, on principle, I should really stand up, be like, no. They have solidarity. But then I open TikTok and I'm like, oh, do what you want with it. I really don't mind. I think, though, like most problems the US has with China, this all comes back to a copyright claim, because what they say TikTok is doing is spying on us, stealing all of our data and using it to manipulate us all. And the CIA came up with that. So they don't want someone else using it for free.
I think the CIA is mad that they didn't think to do little dances.
But I think we can solve this issue. I think they should just sell it to a nice country. Because there's, nasty countries, they're nasty. But, you know, a nice country like New Zealand.
Oh,
imagine
nice.
A New Zealand-run TikTok. It would all just be, you know, lovely gardening videos, and it would just be, Costa would be incredibly viral on New Zealand TikTok.
New Zealand misinformation would be incredible as well. Hey, bro, did you know that the Russians are good?
Oh, no, I didn't. Thanks, bro.
I was trying to think of what it was. What would the pronunciation of the company be?
I'm not going there.
Who said honey? Yeah. Who said honey? I've shrunk the honey. Not I've shrunk the kids, but I've shrunk the honey.
Mm-hmm.
This is
right in
the squeezy bear's getting small.
Yeah, this is right in the Gruen hitting zone. We talk about this a lot. Shrinkflation. It's a real problem, and it's a real problem for one big reason. It made me think I was getting larger, because every time I went into the shops, everything was getting smaller. I was getting bigger. I thought, I'm coming to this shop too often. I am expanding rapidly. This is a real problem. So shrinkflation is when products get smaller, they stay the same price. It is in some way possibly the solution to the obesity epidemic, because the food is less and you can't afford it anyway, so you're going to eat less.
Yeah. And yet when you wash your tummy under the shower, because the soap has also shrunk, you look down and you think, oh, God, I'm getting fat.
I like the idea that eventually capitalism will have us all living in a miniature village.
Yeah.
Like, was it always this little? I remember my head not hitting the ceiling in the morning.
I'm worried about other things shrinkflating. One of the things they're talking about is textiles and clothes as well. Like the real situation is that using less wool, but I'm worried about all clothes becoming smaller without us realizing, you know, jeans becoming jorts. Bras becoming bralettes, jackets becoming jackets. I'm worried about granny undies becoming granny strings. And, of course, perhaps the worrying introduction of the business midriff. I mean, everyone here who's at the live show can see that even Richard Glover right now is sporting a business midriff. His shirt ends just below the nipples, and we're all...
I wondered why the first row had moved backwards.
Very tasteful piercings, though.
Yeah, just a hint of underboob.
But with an ABC tattoo on it.
Yeah, that's right. So it is very, very worrying.
Are you worried about shrinkflation, Tommy?
I am worried, because it feels, and the other one, that is shrinkflation, so they, you know, reduce, and the other one is just change the name. So like coffees now, you know, used to have like a standard small, medium, large. And those sizes basically have stayed static. But now, at the cafe that I stop at in the morning, I have to get the extra jumbo.
Is that compulsory as an American?
No, I mean, I have to get it. I'm drawn to it.
Sorry, sir, I've noticed your accent. You'll have the jumbo.
But they changed the name. Why can I? It's not small, medium, large. It's large, grande, extra jumbo. you know, like suggesting that you are getting better value. Yeah. It's super mega size.
Yeah.
And it's still 16 ounces.
Yeah.
It's always been the same.
So the upflation is to the name.
The upflation to the name, yeah. Shrinkflation to the product.
Yeah.
And that's why you know, mega chips. You know, it used to be the party bag. Remember, here you have a bag of chips. Smith smells a bag of chips called the party share bag. And it's the saddest party you would go to. You and a mate, at best. You know, like that's like at home. That's like what we get in the vending machine for snacks at work. It's like we get like 500 gram bags of chips. It's like standard, and then the party bag is a kilo of chips. Like, I'm just saying, we have a lot of potatoes and we don't muck around.
They reckon with the Toblerone, for instance, the valleys are wider. That they still have the mountains, the Swiss mountains, but the valleys are wider.
Unfortunately, that's global warming. That's what's doing. It's just eroding right into them. The bear's not on the mountain anymore, unfortunately. Right.
And they've made the toffee bits even stickier, so it seems like you're chewing more.
But you're not.
You're not.
We have with us James Colley, Tommy Dean and Alex Lee. Now, health experts have called for action to counter what they call chair use disorder. Actually, I can see you're all suffering from a bad case of it. It's spreading across Western countries with people, this is what the experts say, addicted to sitting in their chairs to the peril of their bodies. What other day-to-day behaviours should we describe with these ridiculous medical terms just to emphasize the scale of the problem, Tommy?
Well, they're not even trying. They're just like making stuff up now. Addicted. Hi, everyone. Thank you for coming to this intervention. My name is Tommy, and I'm a chair sitter.
What was the gateway drug? A stool?
I used to sit on my grandfather's ottoman while I told stories about what it was like for people that used to walk around. But it sounded so terrible.
Do you know how they get you out of a chair addiction? 12-step program.
Oh, nice. Nice. Very good.
Very good.
But it's silly. Chair disorder. And you're not even trying to use medical terms. You just can't throw disorder in there. You know, use some proper suffixes. You know, you got sort of charindectomy. Get him one of those. I got chariitis is my problem. I've got some sort of can't lift with my knees syndrome. It's crazy. What addicted mean? When does it cross over from I'm just enjoying relaxing?
Yeah. Like, I just enjoy heroin. And I'm not, like, addicted to it.
Yeah. Oh, I can quit sitting down whenever I want, James. Oh, yeah, right now. I'm going to stand up right now.
Well, maybe not right now, because, it would move things around. Yeah. But, you know, I could do it. I could do it any day. It's just going to get to the end of the week. Yeah.
I mean, they say we're sitting so much it's in peril of our bodies because in offices that people sit down all the time and 8 hours a day they're just sitting down.
Do you know what the problem is with the medical profession? They all presume we want to live longer. And we have seen the world and, frankly, I would rather sit until my time is done.
You want to watch the world burn whilst sitting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
George Harrison wasn't standing here watching the wheels go round and round, and neither was John Lennon, who I believe wrote that song.
What other day-to-day behaviours should we characterise with these medical terms?
Mm.
Just to make it clear how terrible we are.
For me and James's generation, scroller's thumb. Mm-hmm. That's got to be an addiction. Yeah, sometimes there's not even a phone there, and I'm just sitting there waggling my thumb. Browser's brow, a similar one of that. Consternation you get was staring at terrible news all day. Mother's wrist, I think, is a disorder that I have. There's just so much wiping when you're a mother. I've got an 11-month-old, and you just the wiping of any surface, including the human bum, it just increases exponentially. I'm constantly wiping stuff. And, like, if my they've invented this wonderful thing around high chairs, which is called the Catchy, or not that that's the brand name. Sorry, ABC. And it goes around the high chair, and if he throws or drops the food, it just catches it. But if I don't wipe it up quickly enough, once he's out of the high chair, he sort of treats it like a swim-up bar and then just peruses up to it and grabs discarded half-chewed food and smushes it into the floor.
You need a dog. That's what you have a dog for. The dog eats all the food that they throw from the high
chair. Yeah. I was just going to say it sounds perfect. You don't even, you know, you just, when he's done, then, you know, plastic wrap that, put it in the fridge, there's dinner.
We do have...
Yeah, that dinner's for the family, not for him, of course. He's already had that. Yeah,
wasn't that what the 6 o'clock squill used to be? Or the...
We do have a baby and a dog, and when the dog has a cone on, it really does test her aim out and just see if, like, we're going to have the next, like, the next great cricketer growing up in our house just hitting that dog all over the place.
The way I've been thinking about you a lot, Alex, when I got the one-year-old grandson over because we got the dog, and he's loves to pat the dog, of course, and I think about your line about saying the main thing about motherhood is saying the word gentle, at increasing volume and aggression.
Gentle. Yeah.
I'm interested, like, I similarly to Alex have found, like, it's less medical, it's more like a horror film, like the daddening is happening to me, like I've become a father and suddenly something inside you compels you to know every fact about World War II that you can possibly learn, and you're constantly on the lookout for, like, is someone playing funny buggers? I'd hate if someone was playing funny buggers. I've got to spot them and find them and put an end to it immediately. And then I found it really has crept into my jokes, my humor, what I enjoy now. I write jokes for a living. I spend a lot of time trying to make good comedy. And there is one bit that has brought me joy all this week. And it is teaching my 2-year-old to come along with me and say to my wife, we're going to duck out. And then we're going to quack, 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 and walk out the door. And it's the best bit I've written in years.
The other way you know you're a dad, I think, is if you, have you been on a regional tour in the car with the kid, the family in the car, and you're going through a town like Goulburn, and the dad, there's something about a dad where he has to observe all the buildings that are going past as if they're of interest. So he says, oh, they've got a Bunnings here. Oh, look, there's the McDonald's. They've got quite a big McDonald's here. Oh, there's the Centro. That must be where all the chemists and newsagents are. And everyone else is thinking, why is this of interest?
Go tell you my favourite.
And you're even thinking yourself, why is this of interest? But you feel compelled to say it.
I love this one. That used to be a Pizza Hut. There is one I've passed that's a crematorium now, so there's really, that used to be a Pizza Hut. Probably kept the ovens.
Or the cemetery, when you go past the cemetery, you say, oh, kids, you know, people are dying to get in there.
My grandfather built all the roads in the neighborhood around the small town that I grew up in, and that was his way of doing it. He just told you where all the roads used to go. Yeah, yes, you're driving. Yeah, we built this road, Tommy, but it used to go up over that hill right there, go around that tree, and then come back down. But now go straight.
I think that when you truly know the daddening has finished is when you come down with lookout syndrome.
Mm.
My dad's obsessed. We've got to catch every single lookout on a drive. Doesn't matter where it is. Like, oh, pull over. We've got to, yep.
And also, you got to, on out. The family holiday, you got to leave at dawn, right? You got to leave at 5 o'clock in the morning to get a move on to beat everybody else. The trouble is every other person in the street is with the same idea.
It's dad peak hour.
Yeah. And then you've got to race to get to your destination and not stop. So you've got all the kids in the back saying, I need to have a wee. No, we're not stopping. We're not stopping until we get there. As if to get there by 2 o'clock is the only important thing.
You have to make good time. It's good time. You simply must make it.
Now, we've transitioned off a bit into dad humor here, but I just want to come back around to the opening question.
The medicalization of
But what I'm concerned
behavior.
About, we mostly at the focus of the sitting problem, as one who works around this, I do also want to make a public health service announcement that you know what else can kill you? Just sitting around? Standing desks.
Yeah.
Standing desks are pressers of killing. They will kill you going up, and they will kill you going down. They are heavy and dangerous and electrified, and if you are not careful, they will kill you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you have a chair on the wrong side of them, they crush
it.
Crush it.
They will take your whiteboard straight off the wall.
They also, and this is too embarrassing when I use one, they let everyone around you know when you gave up. I feel better than everyone. I'm on a standing desk then.
No. And I'll tell you what no one measures on a standing desk. The cords from the computers. People measured that when they were sitting down. The way computers are meant to be used. All of my stuff is on a slant in the back of the wall. Anyway, be careful. My point is be careful. Do not press the home button.
Now, Tommy, are you ready to...
I'm ready.
Ready for the Wheel of Death, ladies and gentlemen. Lovely people who've come here this afternoon have thrown these topics onto this chocolate wheel, and today's topics are comb...
Yeah, they've weaponized vocabulary against me.
Comb, shopping, tiddlywinks, seahorses, tomorrow, e-bikes, toothbrush. Why is it called toothbrush? Because you brush all of your teeth, right? It should be called a teeth brush. I think so.
It's my favourite Seinfeld ep.
Holidays, lollies, jellyfish, eavesdropping, rubbish, compost, and swaff.
Wait a minute.
Do you know what swaff is?
Yeah.
I don't know what swaff is.
It's like a swatch, but more.
Oh. Well, which one fills you full of fear? Clearly
swaff.
Not that.
Swaff.
Well, let's spin the wheel and see what comes up. Round and round and round it goes. Where it stops, no one knows. It's swaff! Who suggested swaff? Get out!
Is it a real word?
Swaff.
You know, the reason I fear it is because I have a lateral S. And it's a speech problem. You're really attacking me at a speaking level. Thinthumph.
Okay, swaff. So here we go. From the dictionary.
Wait, no, let's work it out.
Folklore or fantasy, a member of a mythical race of short, stocky, human-like creatures who are generally skilled in mining and metalworking.
Wait, no, wait a second. Are you sure?
That's dwarf, sorry.
Well, I know that it's you can cut it. I know that it's cuttable because you cut a swath. You cut a swath through the crowd. I think it's a segment of. I think it's a segment. I think it's a segment. A swath is a section of something.
Yeah, and if you add Kofsky, it becomes very expensive.
I'm going to get it eventually, aren't I? Swatkowski.
It's an expensive brand of jewelry or something.
Oh, no wonder. No wonder I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm aware of a swatch, a lightly less expensive timepiece keeper that snaps onto my wrist. I like that. Swath. Cut a swath. I know you cut a swath through a crowd.
You cut a swathe through a crowd, don't you?
What?
Tommy's done that thing where he's only seen the word in books and
it's
never
so
heard
true.
It out loud before.
It's so true. There's a lot of those words, and they freak me out when they come out
I mean,
live.
Do you want me to ask the person who suggested?
No, not yet. Let's just think on this a little bit. So you're saying swathe is not swath.
That's my understanding.
But they
I'm not a professional linguist.
Yes. How are you spelling swathe?
S-W-A-T-H-E.
And how are we spelling swath?
S-W-A-R-F.
Like a what?
Is that right? Yeah. S-W-A-R-F.
Well, that's not swarf.
Yeah, that's a bit of wood that goes out in the water.
You know, I was going to say
it's a swarf.
It's swarf. Swarf. That's my.
It's a swarf. I only understand the dwarf joke. I didn't see the spelling. I understand. Did you have an attack when you said your word? Like, I'm just like when you like Simon was talking to you before the show started. Like, give us a funny word, and you were like swarf. Is that what happened? Are you okay?
I read very widely.
But I read very deeply. And I feel I may have missed the edges. So out there on the edges is where the swarf lives. I assume that they are cousins of the Morlocks, who don't spend all their time underground, but come up occasionally for sunny holidays. Okay, help me, help me. What's a swarf?
Let me get the microphone.
Swarf. Coming swarf. Off the crowd now.
What is a swarf?
Swarf.
Yeah. It's not a racist comment, so it's not a Swiss dwarf. It's actually an offcut.
With wood or?
Wood or metal.
Wood or metal offcut.
See,
oh, I'm not doubting. If you played this in a Scrabble match, I would let you have the points. Also, because I think challenging in Scrabble is rude. You know, I just assume people are honest, and the occasional mistype is no big deal.
Yeah, I think
unless it's on a triple word, then maybe have a hard look. Offcuts,
an offcut of wood or metal. He says.
So that's so you're like so. All right, so okay, so to go back to the beginning then, so if I, like, have completed my IKEA shelving work, and then there's three or four bolts and a couple of pieces of laminate left over, well, that's the swarf.
Yeah. And when your wife came home that day and you had the... It was basically all swarf.
Yeah. Well, but does it have to be that? Like, let's say, you know, I start a loaf of bread. I have a loaf of bread, and I want to cut a nice slice out, but that little bit on the end, I don't like that. So is that the swarf of the loaf?
Yeah.
The loaf swarf. if you would.
Like, when this show is edited for the podcast, this whole segment will be the swarf.
Yes, that's what I'm feeling like. Can you recycle swarf? Is there a swarf recycling center? Ooh, say that three times. Ladies and gentlemen, we have one of the biggest problems in the company today. The memo has gone out to the metal filings company. If we could just reduce our swarf.
The swarfies are up in arms.
The swarfies are up in arms. But their arms are getting shorter by the day. Did they write it off? Swarf?
There's a swarf strike.
Right. It started with 10 fingers, but I swarfed off two of them. Just an offcut. They're just offcuts. Fingernails are fingernail swarf. They're the offcuts.
Well, if you cut them, yeah, the bits of the yeah.
Where does it come from? Does it? I mean, when you were reading, what were you reading when you came across it?
I was reading a Coles supermarket specification.
You were reading.
This guy's.
Well, now wait, no, I feel like
You're a shop fitter or something like that.
Builder.
Okay, but you were reading the specification in order to provide them shop fitting for Colesworth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
You thought this will ruin Tommy's day. Yeah.
I'm also questioning whether you read that much.
My problem with the word swarf is that someone looked at the word offcut and thought that's not sufficient. Offcut is the perfect word to describe the situation.
Or is it onomatopoeic? It's just what it sounds like when you sweep it aside. Swarf. Swarf. Swarf, swarf, swarf.
Yeah.
The good one. Do that again.
Swarf.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, does he die or does he live?
He's been swarfed.
He definitely lives. Oh, thank God it's Friday.
Even do a Star Trek joke. How terrible.
We're never going to forget that word now. None of us are forget that word.
If I have another child, I want you to know what his name will be.
By the way, bookings are open for our TGIF special shows.
One second, just quietly. Is this exactly the moment we want to publicise this show?
Which you're guaranteed to be swarf-free. Sydney Comedy Festival at Chatswood Concourse, April 26. Tickets are $10 with Kirsty Wiebeck, Tommy Dean and Jennifer Wong. Music from Josh Pike. You can book via the Chatswood Concourse website. And we're also heading to Wagga's Civic Theatre on June 6. That's a Thursday, actually. Thank God it's Thursday as part of the Wagga Comedy Festival. Again,
yeah, visit, do things different down there.
Visit the Civic Theatre at Wagga for tickets. Now, a Dubbo couple have paid for the cost of their wedding after friends helped them collect bottles and cans to put in the return and earn container scheme. They ended up returning 111,275 containers and raised over $11,000 for their wedding. How else could you monetize a wedding in order to make back the cost? James Collier, you're probably the most recent person to have had a wedding.
Yeah.
How did you pay for it? How should you have paid for it?
My wife's been threatening to return me for quite a while. I think that there's a couple of solutions here, and I think that we can learn a lot from the taxi industry here, and just running meters on the speeches. Like, the longer you take, the higher the fee goes up. You're going to be paying that back, particularly dads. This is really going to hit you hard. If I hear the word conception, we're going to airport rates. We are moving fast. You're paying a lot there. And then this, we have to get the whole model of the airport here, because they've really got squeezing every dollar of you down. So if you stay still for more than a minute, cost you money, but if you try and get on the dance floor when there are other people there, well, that's surge pricing, so that's going to cost you even more. So I think what we do is we find people every step of the way, Richard.
Just make that money. Make that money. It's sort of cash for comment, really. Is every comment you make about the bride or the groom, you pay cash?
I like putting a couple of sponsorship moments in the vows as well, you know. Like, I can't really say them on the ABC, but, like, I hope our love stays as fresh as a certain provider of produce keeps their food.
Well, yeah, I mean, James, you married a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any offers for any free stuff at your wedding? Like, because I feel like you'd be looking for those bargains.
So our wedding was covered by, this is real, it was covered by New Idea without our permission, and it was put on a half page underneath
David Duchovny on a jet ski with his ex. And they didn't even use the pun The X-Files, so it was really heartbreaking for us.
Oh, so they used your wedding as content, but you didn't see a cent.
We didn't see a cent.
Oh, you should have sold it.
I know.
Although yeah, wedding agent.
The one thing that came out of it that was really good, really worthwhile, is that no one knows who I am, so they always have to put a comma and an explanation of who the person next to my wife is in pictures. And then one outlet, who I won't name because it's Channel 9, and they put on their online page, they said James Colley, and then they took my Twitter bio, which I had left as a joke and didn't think anyone would look at. So it says James Colley, comma, 5-time NBA champion, which I then used as a citation for Wikipedia. So now the truth is that I am a 5-time NBA champion.
Well, at least it's one explanation of why she married you. Alex Lee, how can you monetize a wedding?
Look, I had a similar idea to James. I thought, you know, a swear jar. So every time, you know, the best man makes an inappropriate joke, that's some money. Every time the mother of the bride makes the wedding about her, that's a little bit more. Every time a bridesmaid has a meltdown about her hair because it just doesn't suit her face shape. Every time an auntie gets drunk and starts hitting on young men on the dance floor, and every time conversation grinds to a standstill on the rejects table. That's also funny.
You're going to make a lot of money.
In no time. With yeah.
It. Tommy, how are you going to monetize a wedding?
We can monetize it, but can we also carbon neutral it? What if we put the things that go when you walk like this?
Treadmills. Sway.
Like treadmills.
Swarfs.
Swarf the treadmill. Make the dance floor a treadmill so all the activity actually generates the electricity for the venue. So you save money on that. You hire the local CWA. To cater. Quit falling for these fancy brand name chefs and their tiny bits of melon wrapped in prosciutto. Get the CWA in. Yeah. Eat out of crock pots. It'd be great. Okay. That'd be another way to do it. Make your dress edible.
Ooh.
Actually, I'd take that back.
Everyone just had a terrible
I think we can lean into Australia's great vice here and bet. We got the gambling industry right in there.
Absolutely.
How long do you think it will last? That is one of the great bets you can ever.
That's too long. I think that you're long. You got to go for the prop. It's all about the props these days.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like how long before the best man speech tips over and insults somebody? You know, how long until the mother cries? When will the dad storm out? When will the DJ play a song that is deeply inappropriate?
Over under for crying bridesmaids. I'm saying 2. We're going to put the line at 3.5.
Yeah. I think the original idea was very sweet, but it's got a problem because these people have been drinking bottles and cans of soft drink, 111,000. I mean, the wedding photos are going to be terrible. They're all going to have no teeth.
No, it was all low cal. Now,
part of me wondered if they actually just recycled the guy that got married before them. That was just like the leftovers from that wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
They just repurposed it.
Now, a male visitor to Hobart's Museum of Old and New Art has taken legal action for discrimination after he was refused entry to their new women's-only space, the Ladies' Lounge. What groups do you think should have their own special spaces in museums, restaurants, clubs and theatres? James Colley.
Firstly, what a cool guy. I can't see why anyone wouldn't want him in their space. Like, oh, you're taking us to court over one women's-only space in a gallery? Do you know what? We just want you to hang out in here. Come in and hang for an hour. I recently tried to go to the aquarium with my daughter. I'll show her the aquarium. We'd never been before. I would like an aquarium that's just for tourists that they can go to because I swear it's the same fish that you have there. Please stop filling up our aquarium. I've got a 2-year-old to keep interested. There are people all through the aquarium at all times. I'd like to say we're packed in like sardines, but I didn't even get to the sardines, so I don't know if they really like that. I think the aquariums are too full. I would like a backup aquarium and a locals-only aquarium.
Locals-only aquarium. What do you want to see?
I thought you'd demand to let me in the water with the fish.
I would love to do that.
That's what it should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, if you're going to have a dugong, let me ride it.
Okay. But they've also got a shark in there, right?
Yeah. I mean, just anything, and maybe just keep it a mystery. If there was just like a place that you could go and just swim with the creatures of the ocean. And, wait a minute, maybe. Maybe I'm talking about the ocean.
Tell me, what do you think should have their own special spaces?
Cry rooms. They need more cry rooms in these places, clearly. That's where they need to go. I think they need spaces outside. Like, I'm surprised he wanted so much to get in. I'm like quite the opposite. If women want to go in there, and there's something in there that women really need, which is like, you know, half the shops in the mall, I'm like, I don't need to go in there. I need a tiny room with a TV in it to keep me busy while she enjoys her women's space.
They should have just put a man's chair outside.
Yeah.
Right?
You know what they need? You know how women used to go to the hairdressers and then they had the big things, the hair dryers would sit over their heads?
Yeah, yeah.
They need that that just comes a little bit further down over the man's head. And then he can just sit there happily.
He can be happy.
You put a TV on these, basically virtual reality helmets.
Yeah. Alex Lee, who else deserves their own space?
Well, I think that, you know, toddlers. I took my baby and my kid to a art gallery the other day, which is a huge mistake because they are drawn to touch that artwork. They want to put their sticky little fingers all over it. I think there should be a safe space in the art gallery for them with some paintings for them to ruin. They have to look real. They have to look expensive because they're for some reason drawn to the really expensive ones, and just give them space there to go wild. I think the bowling clubs needs a safe space for the people who actually bowl there. They need safe space from the hipsters who are going there for barefoot bowls. Like, I feel like, you know, poor old Doris doesn't want to be there with like Trev from accounting. Like, she needs a safe space. In a theatre, I feel like theatre lobbies, I would like a safe space as a plus one in a theatre lobby that's just always full of people, you know, looking over your shoulder, not wanting to talk to you. I just like to be there with all the other plus ones where we can all just sit on our phones and not have to talk.
Because they all look, they talk to you and then they look over your shoulder and see if there's someone more interesting, right. like James Colley's wife.
If I'm at a theatre lobby with James Colley, I am looking for his wife.
Who were the winners and losers of this week? Tommy Dean.
I think the winners are the platypus. Very exciting news this week.
Lovely
of the platypus coming back out because we
the first baby platypus, Puggle, they're called.
Well, that I was going to say, that was the big winner for me, was discovering that Puggle is what a baby platypus is called. Yeah. I just thought it was called baby platypus. Huh? How boring.
The first one born in the Royal National Park for 50 years.
Yeah.
It's actually called a plorf.
A plorf.
Only if you cut off its foot.
That'd be very exciting. Very, very exciting. And I don't have a loser, but I do want to mention this again because this caught me in a way that I haven't been caught in a long time on radio. And I know that we've talked a lot about this, or you've talked about it in the last couple of days. But driving home from Bateman's Bay, I was doing a show for the Seniors Week Festival down there. And I just happened into James Valentine's live moment.
Yeah.
And it was just crazy how it hit me. And I thought it was beautiful how he handled it. And I just thought it was one of those gloriously honest and sharing and open things, and it's what makes, I believe, radio in general and the ABC specifically part of the community when we all feel like that when that happens. And I just thought it was one of the most beautiful things.
Well, he's brought a lot of joy. Not many people have brought as much joy as James to their community, and we need him back very quickly from his operation so he can do that once again.
But I also thought, let him have a little bit of time. It was a little bit too much call for him to get back to work.
Give him a couple of months. Hey, winners and losers. James Colley.
I'm going to say the loser has to be Brisbane, who seem to be being peer pressured into holding an Olympics. They clearly don't want this thing. They've been asked so many times, like, okay, do you want to host the Olympics? Yeah, we kind of want it. You're going to have to destroy your favourite stadium. No, what if we look into it? Maybe we don't have to. So they send off a report. The report comes back like, yeah, you're going to have to get rid of this stadium. And like, everyone else was just having the Olympics. And it seemed like a cool thing to do. It was a real, like, if your friends all jumped off a bridge, wouldn't you do it too thing? I think we are bullying Brisbane into having an Olympics.
So stop bullying Brisbane.
Oh, no. I did not say that.
And on that note, James Colley, Tommy Dean and Alex Lee. Thanks for being part of Thank God It's Friday. Next week is Easter, but we'll be back after that. Until then, I'm Richard Glover, and thank God it's Friday!